Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome to the Six Again podcast. We have, two rounds left to go in the 2022 NRL season, and
the finals can't come quick enough.
We are scraping the barrel for positive stories about the NRL. Thank God for the NRLW, because was there anything worth watching after Thursday night?
I'm really struggling watching rugby league right now.
Welcome to my life the last 4 years.
That sounds like thing, but you've got the hypocrisy of the Manly players. You've got a player abusing a referee, and for some reason, after getting beaten, calling a referee incompetent after getting beaten, putting 70 points on him, and then for some reason the fans are backing the player. The absolute media blow up and the exaggerated stories about Caleb Ponga.
You didn't even mention Buzz Rutherfield doing a 20-year dive into Paul Green's mental health concerns.
Yeah, well, that's another part. Like, the ex-Queensland coach has passed away due to mental health issues. You got one of the moments, one current player and one ex-player in the last, all getting sentenced to jail this week and last week. For horrible acts. You just, as Adam said, thank God for the women playing the sport. Like, for fuck's sake, I'm really struggling with just the culture right now. I think I said it earlier, the biggest story in the last month is not the fact that someone in the NRL, a team in the NRL, got put 70 points put on them.
Wasn't over in the UK. What was that, points? 104?
That's 104 or something.
64-0 second half.
Yeah, it's just, you sit there and it just amazes me that it's not just a certain part of rugby league. It's a fair chunk of, the supporters / individual people, individual groups, supporters, players, mm-hmm. stakeholders, coaches calling out players, the NRL Players Association for some reason crying about a fact that some bloke got a drug test, which should be happening every 2 weeks anyway. I don't know, whatever it is, it's just, I just don't understand what's happening right now. It's doing my head in. Every time I turn around, something bad is happening again, and it's not being sensibly talked about either. I honestly I respect James Tarmo, but the fact he called someone incompetent
while getting beaten
by 70 points, and his job is to tackle and run. So, and you stand there, and then people defend him by going, "Oh yeah, he's right." I'm just like, the pure hypocrisy of that.
Oh yeah, we can say he's right because we know what that referee's like, but we're also not on the field as a pro.
I'm not saying that. Even if the referee done an absolute there is no level where he can turn around after his job has been done so woefully by getting beaten by 70 points.
I said we could. I didn't say he could.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that either. Jesus Christ.
Because I love the argument of he should escape the ban because of his input in the game for that long, rah-rah-rah. And I was like, no.
And the funny thing is, he's still young enough to play on next year, but because he's not getting another contract.
He should have retired 3 years ago.
And not because he's not getting another contract, everyone's kind of like, I hope he gets to play one more game. And I'm just sitting there, the whole time just going, oh my God. Like,
you know how he could have played one more game if West Tigers made the finals and they didn't, so shut up.
And you know, Let's jump on something positive, Jared.
Three of our tips has got full rounds this week. It wasn't hard to get six. I'll just put it that way. And the fact that on the tipping comp, the first 40 of 48 got six or higher. The other eight, I'm pretty sure, forgot the tips because they all got two, except for one who got five. And I was in the sixth bracket because I changed from Dragons to Titans at the last second. But congratulations to Sharkopolis, Macadollars, and Adam Drew, all getting full rounds of eight. So they get the extra bonus point, nine, and pretty much everyone else getting seven or six. And that blows out the leaderboard a little bit with myself being the only one in the top 20 to get six or less. It's dropped me back. So Rocking Horse Road has a 2-point gap with two rounds to go, 153. The Irk, 151. Myself on 148. Reggie Sidesett, 147. And Spencer Blues and Sharkopolis on 146 apiece. Now, over in the streak competition, it's pretty interesting. So Ben Lyon has had the longest streak at 15 for three quarters or more of the season. With two rounds to go, you've got Ben Liner, who won this comp last year, and Beaver Eater 11, myself, both on a current streak of 13. So we both need two to tie and three to jump in front of the streak competition. And Chris Nostradamus is on eight and still within a shot. Oof. Last round was the easiest one to get it done, and I forgot to put my streak in until the last three games, so I got two. Anyway, it's close. Still a lot for grabs. There hasn't been a whole lot of news on, and Jared's already touched on the Tamo thing, so we are going to go straight into casualties and judiciary before we wrap up the games from the weekend. And starting in the judiciary, West Tigers will be... appealing James Tamo's punishment or fine. Well, not so fine. It's going to be a punishment and suspension. So he's pleading guilty to contrary conduct, but will front the judiciary. And she's in a bid to get a downgrade that would allow him to play one more game. He was sent off by Ben Cummins for dissent and hit with a grade 3 charge, which carries a 2-match ban, which effectively ends his season. I'd say he's probably the only one on the West Tigers team who'd be fighting to play another game. I'd be wanting to get out of there as quick as I could, but good on him anyway. Dragons have three players charged. Moses Mbai and Francis Molo. Molo's been charged with a grade 3 careless high tackle. Yeah, it didn't look good, that one. That was a full swinging arm to the jaw. Faced a 4-game ban with an early guilty plea or 5 games if he fights and loses. Mbai will miss 2 games with an early guilty plea for a high tackle on Philip Sammy or 3 if found guilty. Maguire's been fined $1,000. Radley accepted guilty plea for $1,000. And Davida Pango and Jeremiah Nanai also accepted early guilty pleas and were fined $1,800. So no players there that have any impact on the finals. On the injury front, Tom Dearden lost a testicle. So he's having surgery to repair it. They found it, but it was ruptured. So he will miss the round 24 clash, but he should be right to play before the finals. Frizzell and Saifidi for the Knights were late withdrawals due to injury. Frizzell injured his rib in the warm-up and Saifidi contracted COVID-19. It doesn't say whether that was in the warm-up, I'd assume not.
The day before.
Yeah, so.
But it's good because young player named Oren Keeley got a debut.
Yep.
And why he made he was the one who missed the tackle on Papali at the end of the game.
Brilliant.
Jack Wyden scored. You know what? He's going to learn from it. And he's going to learn that he's only on there for 20. Papali's on there for 60 and still able to play at that standard. You got a hell of a lesson in that game. But hopefully he learns and hopefully he gets more to run next year. It'd be good.
Yes, it can only... I'm actually kind of glad he missed that tackle because that was one of my favourite tries of the year. A prop putting a prop through a gap, back to a prop. He throws it all over the top. It was brilliant.
Joe Tart, if we're going to have a segment at the end of the year, most... you know, player out of nowhere that, well, not nowhere, but like Joe Tarpany, man, he's a fucking weapon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He's been really well.
I reckon he's a form prop of the comp by far. Like, he's just killing.
Oh, he's been that for, what, since round six, maybe?
Yeah, he's just, you know, he had a few injuries in his time, but like watching him play. And another thing is he's finally grown into like those young Canberra boys. Because Joe Tarmy's a Kiwi, but he's debuted at Newcastle, I'm pretty sure. He's always very lanky.
Yes.
Same with Emre Guler. But both of them, this year, just finally grew into their bodies. And you're like, oh, shit, look at the size of these blokes. Like, they're men that they always knew they were going to become, but they're finally there. And you're like, oh, fucking hell.
Imagine when Tino grows.
Yeah. Tino finally... gets his baby fat off him, it'll be scary.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, in that same game, in the same game, McCulloch, Mbai, Sammy, and Herbert all picked up injuries. McCulloch knee, Moses Mbai hamstring, Phillip Sammy failed HIA. 2 minutes in the match, Patrick Herbert picked up a head knock and an MCL, which will rule them out for the rest of the season. Brian Kelly should be back next week. Tyron Wishart's set to be sidelined for around a month after suffering a syndesmosis injury against the Broncos. Xavier Coates went off with a head knock early in the second half. That's who Wishart came on for, and then Wishart got injured. Tui Kamakamika picked up a back issue as well. Kurt Cate will be out for round 24 by the look of it after rolling his ankle. Aaron Clark's out for the remainder of the season from a knee injury. Seagulls, we knew, I think, already. We'd already mentioned. Garrick's out for the season. Despite Dykes missing the game, didn't help Manly. To be real, we talked about that. And Ben Murdoch-Masilla set to return in round 24 after recovering from a dislocated elbow. All righty. Now, so many random stats came out of this round and game records and everything, but I think the rugby league eye test said the average margin this round was 32.3 points. So if you're a fan of tight, close contests, you should have tuned off after Thursday night because, well, I guess the Raiders and Knights right at the end. So the first and the last games of the round. That's what you want, isn't it? Like your premier rugby league comp in the world has a margin of 32.3 points over a round. And my team only lost like 40-something to 6, and that was one of the better score lines. At least the Knights and the Dragons and Titans played an entertaining game. So we'll go over all that sort of stuff. I'm going to say the most impressive performance of the weekend, even with all those beltings, was Penrith's win over Rabbitohs on Thursday night. Pretty much a full-strength Rabbitohs squad. Taking on Panthers without, obviously, their starting halves. And Penrith getting out to the lead early in this one. Rabbitohs tied it up before the half with a try in the 35th minute to Cody Walker. Had another pretty decent game. 12-all at halftime. Penrith jumped out to a lead again. Rabbitohs took it over. And then Penrith scored in the second last minute, which Jared had to message me because I missed the end of it. And went to a guy who bombed a try already in that game by not grounding a grubber in Liam Martin. So 4 tries apiece. However, the conversions, 3 out of 4 for Penrith, 2 out of 4 for Rabbitohs, plus penalty goals was the difference. And that locked up the minor premiership for the Penrith Panthers as well. So congratulations. They'll be accepting the trophy officially in their next home game, which I believe is round 24. I don't think Rabbitohs did anything to warrant them not making some noise in the finals, but they really, if they wanted to be taken seriously, fully serious in the comp, they needed to beat a weakened Penrith team. And didn't.
Yeah. 100%. South Sydney, they've got the players to do it. They've got Mitchell, Murray, Walker, Campbell Graham even returned this weekend. While people don't rate him, I think he's got a few years. He's got a long time in the NRL, and he can be a threat. He can be a threat when he needs to be. And yeah, Seth Pembroke for missing Cleary, Luai, Fisher Harris. While I don't agree with using that as an excuse, but when they win, you got to question it. Especially for a team like South, who were chirping for the last couple of weeks about how, Latrell Mitchell came out and said, I can beat anyone on my day. They've been pretty confident they're going to make a run of these finals, and there's no other option but to win this game. That's the hard reality of it.
Yeah, and Penrith didn't use Charlie Staines, who was on the interchange, but that's probably
no, he's the 80th man.
Was he? I think so. No, Jermaine Hopgood, Charlie Staines, Lenu, and Coruscant on the interchange.
Pretty sure that's an advantage to Pembroke, not you.
That's what I thought, yeah. So, well played, Cleary.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because Taylor May made his return. So that was, I kind of like whet the appetite for a good weekend at footy, and we knew that pretty much outside of that game, the rest were pretty much top eight versus bottom eight outside of Newcastle and Canberra.
Right. Yeah, so next game, Cowboys up at North Queensland. Look, these teams are getting beat. Probably except for Brisbane, who probably still have a chance, potentially, I think, on numbers and points of one against, I think. I don't know. I'm making the eight. The Warriors, they're just waiting for the end of the year at this point.
And this is what I meant way back ago. Strip it down, get young guys in. But at least they tried that. Vilami Valia came back in. Dejan Arce got the start. Edward Cosey's been given an extended run on the wing, which is good to see. But these Cowboys, man, they are so much fun. I've said it so many times. Luciano Leilua is just looking better and better. Every week up there, he's found a home. I just love their back row rotation. And that was with Tom Gilbert being out as well, who can slot into there, obviously. So at the moment, what is it? Nanai, Tamalolo. Cotter. Yeah, Cotter started in. Yeah, it's all over the place here, actually. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, yeah, Leilua, there he is. So yeah, it's Leilua, Nanai, Tamalolo is their back row with Gilbert as the rotation. And then you got Cotter, McLean and Hest and Tanua Brown and Griffin Neame up front. So it's starting to look pretty deep all of a sudden. And the back line did what the back line does up there when it all clicks. And it just looks
drink water, brilliant. Man. Drink water, absolute weapon.
Hey, yeah.
I've been saying that for years, though.
So much fun.
I've been saying about drink water, like, you know, there's a whisper Newcastle sign, and I don't genuinely jump on the whispers, but I was all over that one. I was like, oh mate.
Let's go.
He's so underrated in the NRL. And yeah. Next game.
Oh, I was going to say Murray Tulagi running over Reece Walsh, and then Reece Walsh getting run over by, I don't know. I got to give credit to Walsh. There was a couple of times in this game where he was just hung out to dry as the last defender against a rampaging anyone. And got owned and just put him on the list like Mam taking on Nelson Asafa-Solomona on the edge. in the next game. Oof.
Next game, 60-12, Melbourne over Broncos. I said it a couple of weeks ago when Broncos were had that bit of a run, about 3 or 4 games on the trot, to everyone think they're back. Adam Reynolds can't do that against the better teams when they're on song.
Yeah, especially if there's no forward pack moving forward.
Yeah, he honestly could pull them out, because at the start of the year when they were winning games, the forwards were actually losing, but Reynolds was able, because he's Adam Reynolds, were able to pull it out. But,
oh, but at least they were competing.
That was against bottom 8 teams. Come up against the Melbourne team 3 weeks out from the finals. Dude, you're going to need more than a halfback to pull your ass out of the fire. And that's what happened in here. I will say that also a couple of weeks ago, I ripped through Bradman Best for his effort on Katoni Staggs. Because Katoni Staggs, they're kind of like the same player, but Katoni Staggs' development's gone so much further. This game, Katoni Staggs came up against Justin Olam, and Katoni Staggs has a bit of learning to do, because Justin Olam, just his pure intensity, his want to hit you very, very hard. The way he runs, the way he will not stop himself. You have to stop him. Like, you literally have to be a brick wall and be prepared to get covered in bruises to stop this bloke. And on the weekend, Katoni Staggs was not up to it. And
yeah, but to be fair, not many people have been this year.
When I don't know, but that's the point. Like, I last couple of weeks, I was saying that Katoni Staggs and Bradman Best, like, they literally, they booed around the same time, the same age, but one's just gone ahead and the other one stayed behind. While Justin Olam's a bit older than Katoni Staggs and Bradman Best, he's just up here. Like, he's well higher than both of them combined, and it's just something they have to aspire to, because he's doing everything they can do, but more. Like, he's just...
His shot. Man. Who was that shot on? Was that Jordan Rickey?
Yeah, he just laid out Jordan Rickey, but it's not even the big shots. Like, that moment where he caught the ball behind him, and he literally just stood up Katoni Staggs one-on-one, which Katoni Staggs does to everybody else. And it was like a James Tedesco moment. It was kind of like, oh shit, there goes Justin Olam, because he's always doing that to people. Like, it was just, oh man.
And this was one of the funniest things that I'd seen. One of the Broncos tries came from an intercept from one of the worst sequences of play you'll see from the storm. And then in the next game, the only points a Bulldog score came from an intercept. And then from the next game, the only points a Seagull scored was from an intercept. Sorry, not the Bulldogs, the West Tigers one. So 3 of the games where only 1 or 2 tries were scored, they all came from intercepts. It's like how one-sided these games were.
If anyone Nelson,
on the edge was just running riot, man.
Yeah, like,
it was so good to watch. I felt so bad for Ezra, man, that picture. Have you seen that picture taken from behind, man? It's just like, fuck that.
Last week, you know, I was very complimentary of a front row going out on the edge and playing the minutes he did and taking on Kickow. He's probably, if not the premier second rower in the comp. And you know what? Bellamy was like, you know what, mate? You beat Kickow. Here's your reward. There's Ezra Man.
Yeah, there you go.
And he just like, he just saw a snack in front of him. And While I give full credit to Ezra Mann, like, he done a very, very good job under those odds, because his second row of Capewell was not helping him one bit. You know, what do you do when that one, someone's that big? What's that movie? The South African Rugby Union movie with Matt Damon. Invictus. And they're talking about having to play Jonah Lomu, and they're like, you know what? All we're going to do is one person grab him and just hold on so everyone else can catch up. That's pretty well what was happening on the weekend. And it's like, the main job, whoever was around him, was hitting and sticking. Other than that, you just have to hope to God he can't.
There was that survey going around. What would you do? Take $5,000 and run, or attempt to tackle a Sofa Solomona and you get 50K. I said, I took the 50K because I figure no matter how hurt I get, I'll still have enough left over after the hospital bills.
No, it's, you know what? We have universal healthcare in Australia. Take on a Sofa Solomona. It is all free and you get 50K out of it.
It
all
is good. Not free.
I don't start that.
So let's move on to the next cracking game on the Saturday this time, 42, the Eels over the Bulldogs 6. The Bulldogs did have a decent little run there. Back-to-back shellackings, one against the Warriors, this one against the Eels. Mitch Moses makes a pretty big difference, eh?
No one's going to beat Penrith wouldn't have beat Parramatta this game. Bloody Melbourne Storm in the early 2000s would not have beat Melbourne in as Parramatta in this game. Oh, they got Parramatta got beaten 26-0 last week. They would have, no matter who came out against,
that way. Like, yeah, right.
They would have just absolutely annihilated anyone. And I honestly, before even I saw, I watched the Parramatta game the week before and went, who are they playing next week? Oh, shit, Bulldogs. Sucks to be a Bulldog.
Yeah. It is that. I've got to give credit to Mosen. He's a person, a player that was criticised early on and a bit more into early on in his career, but and with reason at times. I was interested to see how he's going to come back from the broken finger because as a half, the finger has a lot more of an impact on how you play than, say, a prop. And he didn't shy away. He was straight into it. He got himself involved. His touches, his timing and decision-making on his passing. But the biggest influence was how much more time Dylan Brown gets to play when Moses is there. Because Brown last week tried to do a lot because he felt he had to, whereas here he just went back to a natural game and he had a blinder, like running the ball. I don't think there's a halves combination in the comp that links up with each other more often throughout a game than Moses and Brown. They don't stick to a single side as often as other teams do. And because they're both so quick off the mark, it's a handful for defenders if they get their timing right, and especially with Papali and Lane running the lines they do on each edge. It's a perfect foil for the two of them and Gutherson, depending on which side he goes onto. And I think it's one of the biggest reasons why bloody Sivo gets so much time sometimes when there's no one freaking marking him. Who knows? Who knows what you're going to get? They're probably going to get pumped next week. And just hope that finals matches are fortnightly.
Which means Parramatta might surprise a few people. Adam just found his new redhead kid. His little cat this rocked up. I told you in a couple of weeks he'd be playing with that cat while I was
on the podcast. No, he just jumped on my leg.
Yeah, Parramatta might surprise a few teams in the finals, but unless they, as Adam said, can play a weaker team in between after they win and lose that game, they're not going to. I doubt they're going to be able to put 3 or 4 games together to win a grand final.
Nah, so, I mean, that's 4 games. Then we'll have a quick break and come back with the Sharks' demolition of the Sea Eagles. Okay, another stat from the weekend that I found quite surprising. This was Nicho Hynes' first career double.
Yeah, right.
And I was like,
play for Melbourne, right.
What? I was so shocked by that. After watching him last year, the Storm, what he did, it just blew my mind.
He might have got 4 tries in one game.
First time he's ever scored a multi-try game. I just thought, wow. The funniest thing about this, actually, I'd come upstairs and where had I been? It was
you would have been.
This was Saturday, so it must have been outside.
Yeah, didn't you go to school on Saturday?
Oh yeah, thank you. That's right. Yeah, went to the musical. That's right. Would have got home. I was like, oh, I'll just sit down and throw the footy on. So Manly's playing the Sharks, and Maddie's like, oh, didn't Manly, isn't Manly winning that? I went, no, there's no chance Manly's winning this. I hadn't heard anything about the game. She's like, no, I thought Manly won. I was like, no. I was like, Sharks are full strength pretty much. Manly's just, yeah, there's no way. I turned it on. It was 26-0 to Cronulla. I was like, they're not winning.
Yeah, my Saturday, so we've had a bit of a rough run the last couple of weeks, and a few sicknesses and stuff like that. And Friday afternoon, best way to put it, everyone was feeling pretty good. Everyone out, we had a hospital visit, everyone out of hospital. And then, so we're like, you know what? We need a break. Called up my parents and went, any chance you can look after Ali for Saturday night? Of course, Mum and Dad were all over it. So we dropped her off Saturday morning, and it was really funny. We went out and had lunch without a baby. It was absolutely fantastic. But the point towards this podcast,
yeah, here we go,
that I didn't actually get to watch many football games. But what echoes is it is we got home that night, and we're really looking forward to eating dinner by ourselves and being able to sleep a full night at dinner. Kalisha turns around and goes, are you going to watch the footy? I'm like, nah, it's only Manly versus Cronulla. I thought I heard on the radio that Manly were beating Cronulla. So it's essentially echoed what Adam just said. It was really, really weird.
I'm thinking they must have just been talking about the hoodoo.
I don't know. But then, to be honest, with everything that's going on with Manly recently, and I feel bad saying it, but it's honestly how I felt. I was happy they were towered up. I will struggle with everything that's happened, the hypocrisy of it. I will struggle to support Manly while these blokes are in the team. And even though I, at the start of their careers, some of these blokes, I was really looking forward to watching their career play out because they're very talented players. And I thought this was a bit of, I liked them losing probably more on the weekend than watching Parramatta lose most games, and which is, you know, pretty high for me.
I can see the point. I can't argue against it.
Yeah, like and you know what? There is players I respect, you know, despite the fact that I don't think he played for Australia in seven jersey, Cherry Evans is Cherry Evans. Like, he's deserved the respect, but unfortunately, he's got to play in this team now where he's got to try every week where no one else, not many other people were trying.
Yeah, it was a pretty poor send-off for Kieran Foran on his final game for Manly at...
Oh, Rookie. Yeah. That's just, like, it's been a poor couple of weeks for the poor bastard because...
So what happens when honestly, you make the game all about you as opposed to about the club and your teammates?
Well, yeah, and honestly, this bloke, while he left last time, this time when he loses, you don't think he's going to get signed by Manly again. No. He deserves... He's a premiership-winning 5-8 at Manly. He's played countless games. He's toughed it out for injury. He kind of... Him and Cherry kind of typify that Manly... I don't know.
Fuck the previous era.
The fuck you attitude where we're just going to play football. We're going to enjoy it despite what you think about us.
Yeah.
And they're the players who represent Manly. You can throw out the Stewart brothers and Trbojevic brothers, but and the fact that this last month's happened in Manly team and then his last game at Brookie, I'm going to call it Brookie. I don't care about football. Yeah, it's called Brookvale. That happens in his last game. That's horrendous.
Yeah.
That's absolutely horrible.
Let's talk about the positives. The Sharks were awesome to watch. And yeah, I was watching it without emotion. I'd packed it up.
I didn't watch it, but I saw the score with too much emotion. I was like, yes.
No, I was just watching. Are we getting what we deserve? And we're getting what the coach in the front office deserves. If this is the team that they're choosing to put out there, what do you expect is going to happen? Like, I'm sorry. There's probably five, if not six players who wouldn't crack most squads at this stage in their careers. Coming up against one of the form teams, In this sort of situation, hoodoos don't mean anything. Manly would have been hard pressed to beat any, all bar maybe three teams on the weekend, I'd say, with that performance. So
I would like you to win for foreign sake. That's all.
Oh, that would have been good, but I didn't see it happening.
That is literally all I would like to see. Other than that, I'm happy you guys lost.
Yeah. Outside of the next game, this was the easiest. That was the easiest tip of the round.
Yeah. So next game was.
Let's not call it a game. Let's just call it a training run. 72
points to 6. At one point, I actually nearly messaged everybody when I was watching it on my on the phone, going, "Is this going to end up in more points than minutes in the game?" Which it nearly is, off by 2.
Now,
I don't even spend too much time on this one. No. Tigers are an absolute fucking shambolic mess, and to be honest, Tim Sheens is coming in next year, but he's too late on the player market. They're picking up Papali and is that other bloke? Coruscant. Those two blokes aren't going to change fuck all in this team. And from what we understand, the board is not changing at all. So Tigers are just shot. My biggest thing was Oliver Gildart he's still contracted to the
Tigers.
He's playing for the Roosters.
So that's another thing, that loans don't usually work. If you're loaned out, you're not allowed to play against the team that loaned you.
Well,
so
he played on the weekend.
Yeah, I know, but in most competent sports.
But see, the thing is, he came out and he goes, "I'd like to stay. I'm actually seeing what a professional team looks like." He came out and absolutely roasted the Tigers. I get some of the quotes up that he said. It is horrible what he's saying. He came out and said all this kind of stuff about him after they just got absolutely towed up. And I'm pretty sure he's just going, "You know what? Absolutely love it here. The standard is really high and it's only going to develop me as a player." So stuff like that, he just come out and said that. And it's just like, well, you know, what does that say about the Tigers?
That's like saying we're shit.
Yeah, he just come out and said all that. And I was just like, "Oof, wow, okay, this is how you say about your club." So essentially he's gone, I'm going to say what I want in the media in the hopes that you release me and the Roosters pick me up. Like, that's pretty
good. This is, I know you're not a big stats man, but take this however you want. This is the best stat in rugby league this year, bar none. So, since Brett Camorley took over as head coach of the Tigers, the opponent's goal-kicking percentage is 91%. So, opponents have kicked 50 out of 55 goal kicks, or so conversions or penalties, since Camorley's taken over. When Maguire was coach, teams kicked 39 out of 61 at a rate of 64%.
So are they saying that more tries were scored out wide against the Tigers under Maguire?
That's the only stat that is, well, is like, you put whatever context you want in that. Yeah. It's freaking hilarious, the fact that they changed coach, but the opponents are kicking literally 30% better.
Look.
Because Walker kicked 12 out of 12 on the weekend.
Twelve tries,
and only two of them were from outside backs.
Sucks for Camorley, though? Like, he took that role because I don't mind listening to Camorley sometimes. He's not bad.
No.
He took that role, and he came out and said in his first week, "I would like to be a head coach." And then the Tigers happened to him.
They gave him
it's literally the complete opposite to what happened at the Bulldogs. Like, literally the complete opposite. Like, Maguire clearly was the only person holding that team together, which is sadness. But poor Camorley, and I think it might have been Corey Parker on the weekend. He just said, "Mate, just walk out of the change room, just leave him." Like, in that circumstances, at that level, if the coach has to say something at the end of the game after 72 points to 6, the players need a smack over the head. Because if I was a player in that situation, I'd just be standing up going, what the fuck, guys? Like, I'd be trying to get all the boys together instead of the coach trying to do it, because the coach can't do anything after that. Like, no. Literally. What can he do? Imagine having to do the
they're obviously the not reaching. Playing for me.
Like, what honestly, what could Kamui do in that situation?
I'd say probably the most entertaining game of the weekend was Dragons versus Titans. Now, this is for a few reasons. This was back and forth. Like, halftime ended up with 22-14. Dragons did have the slightly better run in the first half. David Fifita did one of his, I'm like the biggest guy on this field, let me just do everything myself, getting the ball
standing still. Oh, really? Figured that out, didn't he?
Getting the ball standing still, 10 metres out, palm step, palm run over someone. It's incredible to watch. One thing that I did see that I wondered if Jared picked up, his effort in the, must have been the Beaufort Firmore try, shows a step in his development, I believe. And then I watched him for the rest of the game to see if he'd continue to do it. And he's definitely making a hell of a lot more effort. And that's getting back
good
on plays where there was like, it was broken play and the ball had been kicked up and then knocked back. And he was the only Titans player running back to get the ball in the vicinity. If he hadn't got there, St. George would have got it. So he got it, kept the ball alive and ended up scoring off that play because it was the fifth tackle. They had to do something with it. So that was good to see. And then watching him, those aspects of the game are coming. That's the net, hopefully going to lead the next stage of his development. Jaden Sullivan had a cracker coming off the bench. Tata Monga with a hat trick and a denied. But the funniest thing in this, usually when there's a send off, it flips the tide. And it did in this game, but it flipped it the other way. So Francis Muller got sent off in the 62nd minute. It was 22-14 at halftime. Titans had flipped the game to make, they were in front 26-22 when Muller got sent off. They ended up losing 26-46. So the team who had a player sent off then put on 24 points to finish the game, whereas the other team didn't score. It was very odd to watch because two of the tries were to a winger. So they stripped the team that had more players. They stripped them for numbers and scored outside them, which if there's not a mental clock off on the weekend more than the Titans, I don't know what was. Jojo Fifita's a player. He's locked down a wing position for the Titans for the foreseeable future. I think it's been one of the biggest issues of the Titans. You never knew who their backline was. If you say Titans winger, who do you think most people would think of?
Unfortunately, I think I honestly go straight to either Phillip Sammy or Corey Thompson.
Oh, okay. I asked a couple of people at work today and said, didn't Kevin Gordon play for them? I was like, yep.
Oh, I thought we meant recently.
No, I just like, if you hear the statement Titans winger, because most people, like, it might be like, is it Marju, Thompson, or Sammy's had a run there, Herbert, I think Fifita is the first one who's actually going to lock it down, and it's going to be his position, because since he's come in, he hasn't shown any reason to be dropped.
David Mead would be the only one I've ever seen who's consistently been.
No, I just mean, I think Fifita is going to be the first one since those two. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Anthony Don. There you go. But Don is good, like. Yeah, you kind of forget who Don was. To tie it down. Dragons fans are going, where the hell has this been? We can score points. Anyway, Benny Hunt, Dalian. There you go. Well done.
And then the next game.
Try of the year.
I got a question. So Newcastle in the first half, I think they completed 16 of 16. They scored 22 points. It was
22-8
at half time. And then the final score was 28-22 because the wheels just went flying off. It was ridiculous. The question I've got for you is,
no.
Who's to blame for that? Because obviously the standard was set in the first half.
The Raiders.
Of how they could play.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, there was the first try to second half, Canberra put a bomb up, and like four Newcastle players kind of just stood around and just went, ah, it's a ball.
And that's happened to like Sebastian every team Chris. This year. Yeah. And Sebastian Griss went up and caught it. That's hilarious.
Yeah, like, yeah, for a mentality point of view, like, do you think that's on the coach or do you think that's on the players?
Well, missing a bomb.
No. Just the whole mentality of the second half, just complete like 180 on the first half. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's on the players. Like the coach isn't dumb enough to go, "Oi, guys, it's in the bag. Relax." He's going to say, "This game's not done. These guys are fighting for their season. They're going to come out. We've got to match them. Don't change anything." And I think they said that halftime. What was the news from the Knights? He said, "Keep the intensity up, hold the ball, control the second half." And they did literally the opposite of all those three things.
I'm literally like curious because a lot of people are calling for Adam O'Brien's head.
No.
But in previous weeks and coaches and stuff like that, like for that game against the Roosters, could Wayne Bennett stop that happening?
No.
Could Craig Bellamy stop that happening? It's just really interesting that
the
mentality of players when like they're up 22-8 and they're still lost. Like
coach's job to get the team up at the start of a game.
Yeah.
And the players do what they best they can in 40 minutes. If you're ahead by 22-8, and it's generally because generally because you started the half well, which the Raiders didn't, Knights did, and they continue on with it and they outplayed them in all aspects.
It was just amazing, the complete turnaround.
It was one of those law of average games, I think. Everything that went for Newcastle in the first... Oh, sorry, not even went... All the things that went against the Raiders in the first half with the bounce of the ball and stuff seemed to bounce their way in the second.
The fact that
bomb landed right in the middle of four and they're all looking at each other, who's going to go, instead of landing over near the edge where the winger just calls for it.
It was just... But that's skill in the Raiders' part, though, because they put that in no man's land. That is not land at the back free cover. I was amazed jumping on the notice boards and stuff, going, "Sack Adam O'Brien for that." And I was kind of sitting there, and I wanted your opinion just to see
the difference.
There are justifications to let go of Adam O'Brien for this year's Newcastle effort, like. But I don't think that game can be put in that example because you can't honestly tell me that big of a 180 is the coach's fault.
Like, the other thing is the Raiders are a better team. They're more balanced. They've got more talent across the park and more experience. And they didn't live up to their standards or even close to it in the first half. And they weren't outstanding in the second half, but they were much closer to the type of team that they should be could be. And when once they got that into gear, Knights couldn't then go with them. And that's just down to the personnel.
It was just amazing for me, this the comparison in halves, because essentially it didn't even look like the same team. It really didn't. It was scarily different. And I don't know, it's just I think it's another situation where the players have to look within themselves to see what's going on. Ricky and the Canberra team definitely should be commended because they fought. Like they wanted to come back. They wanted to win, and they did. Like
now, that's commendable, but they also put themselves in the position in the first half based on their poor ball control and Newcastle's ability to execute when they got the opportunity to do so.
But as a school teacher, if you see a kid really struggling and not living up to their potential and then turning around and picking it up, that needs to be commended. Like it was, as you said, they played closer to their level in the second half because they went in the break in the first half going, "This is not the Canberra Raiders we can be." And they came out in the second half and went, "Fuck, here we go." Like we're going to, they had a bit of steel about their mentality, which Newcastle did. And it was... It was good to watch from a Canberra's perspective. I did struggle with that. But yeah, it was good on the Raiders for this one.
I was really about to say, are you talking about Canberra? Are you talking about the Sydney Roosters NRLW? Because once they came out in the second half and clicked into gear, good night, Parramatta. First game of the NRLW season, you had the defending premiers and the Roosters playing out at Combank Stadium against Parramatta Eels. It was a return of Sammy Bremner for the Roosters, and man, she looked like she has not missed a beat. Coming back after having a baby, slotting back in at fullback, Corbin Baxter out on maternity leave. So Bremner's like, I'm not going to ease my way back in. I'm just going to go straight for it. And she made that back line look like it has not missed a beat. Isabel Kelly palmed at, is it Abbey Church, into next season. And you could just see her face. She got the ball and said, this is what I'm going to do, and just went into beast mode and said, get the fuck out of my way. A couple of trick plays from the Roosters. Kelly for a second try wrapped around to the right and got the ball off Surges. So he had both centres next to each other. Yeah, they just flexed their muscles in the second half. Not the best goal kicking by Tamara, but the first three tries were out wide from the post. She got better as the game went on. A 38-16 scoreline, so a 20-4 second half after being up 18-12 at halftime. For the Eels, they showed some fight in the latest stages of the first half. They were blown away pretty early on with Roosters rise in the 7th, 10th, 13th minute. Before Eels got three in a row, 18th, 22nd, and 37th. Oh, sorry, not three in a row, got across on the 31st. To make the scoreline look respectable at halftime before the Roosters just said, yeah, we're the defending premiers. We're going to be bloody hard to beat again this year. Try and stay with us. And they couldn't. It was just overly impressive. And you know what it was? It was nice to see a game where it was flowing. I think the ref actually let almost too much go at some stages where I went, isn't that a knock on or wasn't that an obstruction? Anyway, we're playing on. So that was cool. Moving on to the second game, Dragons 26 over the Titans 12. Took a little bit for Dragons to kick into gear in this one. LC Albert, they lost in the warm-up with an ankle injury, which means Kezzy Apps moved up into prop. This is the first game coached by Karen Murphy for the Titans. Did not get the result they wanted. It was 18-6 at halftime, and that was a fairer reflection. Titans had clawed back to make it more respectful in the first half with a try in the 34th minute. But Titans. Dragons were good value for their lead at halftime, 18-6, and then to stretch that out to 26-12. Tegan Berry getting a double. Emma Tonegado getting her almost customary try now. And Andy Robinson. So four tries to the outside backs there. Steph Hancock getting a double at the ripe old age of 40. For the Titans. Did you get to see much of either of those games, Jared? Or were you
hanging in for Sundays? Any women's game this weekend?
You didn't see Sunday's game?
No.
Wow. Actually, that's what one of my students told me. It was the only NRLW game I didn't see, so I went back and watched the mini. And if we talked about, not if we, we did talk about Jesse Southwell in the pre-round podcast, and I sent Jared a tweet today from one of the Newcastle podcasts going, is Jesse Southall better than Andrew Johns at this age? The only answer is yes. As a 17-year-old who has got an exemption to play in the NRLW, coming back from a Commonwealth Games gold medal in rugby sevens, she looked pretty good, eh? Oh my gosh. Her try stepping back off her right through the goal line defense and just the bloody confidence that she played with was outstanding. And I think Wal and I both said, we both tipped Broncos in that we thought that while Newcastle signed really well, it was going to take time for the team to gel. Yeah, that wasn't the case. they played pretty well pretty quickly, albeit against a Broncos side who haven't had a decimation of their playing roster in one off-season than they've just had. They were, and that comes in their old W when you have the dominance and the success. It's where a lot of the talent's going to come from for other teams. And for the Knights, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tries, 6 different try scorers. Jesse South will open it up in the 5th minute. And Bobby Law finished it off in the 66th. So tries in the first and last 5 minutes of the game.
Full credit to Romy Titzel as well, because she was captain last year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Millie Boyle and Tamika Upton came in and obviously took that over. But she actually played from in second row on the weekend.
Yeah.
From fullback.
Yeah, we talked that in the pregame. Yeah, we were looking, where'd Titzel go? Oh, she's playing second row. Sweet. We'll see
how she goes. You know what? She actually played pretty bloody well. Like, she's all right at second row. Not a slouch at all.
Well, yeah, when Jared said he didn't watch the games live, he had to go back and watch the...
Yeah.
It wasn't even the mini. It's the condensed games.
Yeah.
The 24-minute games. Julia Robinson for the Broncos in a double and Taryn Aitken in there as well. It was hard to get a read on the Broncos. Like, they were just... They were fine. I guess, like, fine. And fine will win you some games, but it wasn't going to win in this one. They weren't...
Newcastle are going to be hard to beat this year.
Yeah, they weren't bad. They weren't great. They were just there. Newcastle will be thereabouts. It's going to be... The litmus test will be when they take on...
Roosters and
the more settled squads. Yeah, the Roosters and the Dragons and... The first season earlier this year, you could pretty much say, all right, Broncos, Roosters, Dragons will be in the finals. Who's going to get the fourth spot out of the Titans, Knights and Parramatta? This time round, it's still Dragons and Roosters, you'd say top two for now. But is it going to be Knights, Broncos? Is it going to be Knights, Titans? Will Knights kick off really well and then things collapse? Because it's, I don't think there's been a turnover so much in one club's lineup in one off season. So we'll see how it plays out, especially when they come up against those two. So yeah, there we go. If we have a quick look at the ladder and how things stand in both comps, we said Penrith has already wrapped up the minor premiership. You've got the Cowboys and Sharks both on 34 points. Points differential is quite decent, about 80 points or so for the Cowboys. Then you've got the Storm by themselves on 32, Eels on 30, Roosters, Rabbitohs, Broncos all on 28, and Raiders on 26. Now, they're the only teams who can make finals. Now, what is really interesting is next week and the week after, every team within the top 9 play at least another top 8 squad, except for Cronulla. So Cronulla...
These are going to be fucking terrible games next weekend.
Yeah, so Cronulla... No, they all play each other. Cronulla versus the Bulldogs and then I believe West Tigers to finish the season or something like that. They get a very easy run. Whereas everyone else will play someone else. So let's have a look at the matchups for next week. You've got Cowboys versus Rabbitohs. So 2nd versus 7th. You've got Storm versus Roosters, 4th versus 6th. You've got Eels versus Broncos, 5th versus 8th. So the only ones inside the top 8 outside of the Sharks is Penrith, who play the Warriors. And then they versus the Storm. No, it wouldn't be the Storm. I can't think of another thing ahead. And then the Raiders, they've got Manly and then a top 8 side for their final round. So there is going to that. There's guaranteed to be movement within the top 8 in some form because they will all be yeah, taking on each other. All right. I'm having a look, 10, 11, 12. We've got two rounds to go. Knights, Bulldogs, Warriors, Titans, and Tigers can all still get the minor premiership. Can all still get the wooden spoon. I'm looking at the bloody other
end. On that note, I'm going to call it a night. We're going to bed.
Hey, minor premiership, wooden spoon's the same thing, right? Yeah. You like your chances?
Look, I don't think we're going to get it.
Well, it's you versus Titans next week, eh?
Yeah, so I think Tigers are more. Who's on the bottom now?
Tigers on 10. Titans are on 10. You're on 14.
So we're going to lose both ours, and Tigers are going to win both of theirs. Tigers are playing
St. George,
and
I'm pretty sure it's like Canberra. Sharks. Oh, Canberra. Ooh.
And Newcastle are playing
Titans
and Cronulla.
Oh, it's Cronulla. Okay. It wasn't the Tigers, it's the Knights.
So, look. No, guys. It is time for bed. We're not talking about a wooden spoon anymore. We will see you guys Wednesday night. Have a wonderful couple of days for the preview, and then we'll see you then, okay?
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.